The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on the Sports Stove podcast. It's the NFL draft, baby. We are talking NFL mock draft 3.0 from the Sports Stove. Dad's got his mock draft. We're going to talk all things NFL draft, and we're talking NASCAR at Dover with Chris Prince. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove podcast.
From Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network, you're listening to the Sports Stove podcast with your host, Vince Stover.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up in me?
Welcome in to an all-new edition of the Sports Stove podcast presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Use promo code Stove 15 at checkout. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. And welcome in. This is my favorite show of the year, the night before the NFL draft. I'm your host, Vince Stover, joined as I am pretty much every week by my dad, Dale Stover. Dad, how you doing?
Great. I mean, it's draft week and we're just about to the draft. So this has been intense the last couple of weeks and, you know, listened to a lot of discussion, but now it's just about here. So that'll be great.
Yeah, I was really anticipating having some news today. I figured we'd have a trade of some sort or something like that happening, but it really hasn't happened. I mean, we've got out of Cincinnati being told that more people want out. But outside of that, people asking for trades in Cincinnati. Of course, we already knew about T. Higgins. And now I had it in front of me and now I don't. Hendrickson, I believe it is asking for a trade as well. That's intriguing and kind of made me think a little bit about my draft as well. So, we'll see how all that shakes down. At this point, no trades happened yet. So we have, let's see here. The Lions did sign Amon-Ra St. Brown to a massive extension, as well as Penei Sewell. The Steelers have announced they're not going to pick up the option, fifth-year option on Justin Fields. So that's intriguing. And then, like I said, Rashad Bateman gets extended by the Ravens. And then the Bengals, Hendrickson, and Higgins asking for trades. So we'll see how that affects the Bengals, especially in round one of tomorrow's draft. Dad, I think the team to watch with T. Higgins is Buffalo. They need wide receiver help desperately. We'll see what happens there, of course. But let's get into it. I want to start off our draft talk with teams that we think will move, either trade up or trade down. I've really looked at seven teams that are trade up potential teams and then six teams that are trade down potential teams. I'll give you mine because I haven't given you as much time to prepare for this. I think trade up teams, the Vikings have been talked about for months now. So I think they're there. The Eagles, everyone knows that's a possibility. So they are there also. I include the Saints, the Raiders, the Colts, the Bills, and the Bengals on this list. The Saints, I think, could do something surprising. I don't have them in my mock draft. I don't have them doing anything surprising, but I think they're a team that could surprise people and jump even into the top 10, possibly the top six, and do something wild. The Raiders, I don't think the Raiders move from 13, Dad, but I could see them coming up into the bottom half of the draft. The Colts have been, there's been a lot of talk about them moving up. The Bills just need a receiver so bad. It just kind of feels like they could move up to get someone they like, later in the first round also. And now with the Bengals, I didn't have them originally on this list, but with two guys asking for trades, I could see them making a move up, to go get somebody as well. And honestly, you know, if I had more time to prepare for this, I might even change them on who I have them mocked at here at 18. But that's who I have going up. What teams, are there any different teams than that, Dad, that you think are trade-up potential teams?
Well, I had three the same as you did, the Colts, the Vikings, and the Bills. I added Green Bay to that because I think there's a chance they could trade up. you know, they may just stay put, but I got a sneaking feeling there's somebody they're really after. And if it drops just right, they may trade up. So we'll see.
Yeah. I've got the Packers as trade down teams, Dad, along with Chicago, not at one, of course, but Chicago at 9, I could see them trying to move down from there. I think the Chargers are 100% moving out of number 5. Now that could change if the Cardinals, I guess, decide to move out of 4, but I've got the Broncos as well as a move down team. Everything that I hear on them is, yes, they need a quarterback, but they're going to try to get more picks, and so they'll move down from 12. I got the Seahawks in there as a trade down team. It just kind of fits them. The Ravens as well. They're at the bottom of the first round. I could see them moving out of the first round completely. And then I got the Packers there as well as a move down team. Because what we heard the general manager say, you know, I've got 11, but I'd sure like to have 13 or 14 picks by the time it's all done. And usually you got to move down to acquire more picks. So we'll see how that one shakes out. Any other trade down teams you think are more than likely to trade down?
The other one I had was Jacksonville. I think there's a chance that they could trade down. It just makes some sense there with what they may need. So I think that's one there. And again, I think it was funny you were talking about the Packers trading down. You know, historically, whatever is said before the draft, usually the opposite of that happens. So I didn't get worried too much about wanting 13 or 14 picks. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Yeah, there's always smoke and there's not always fire. For sure, when you're talking about people talking before the draft, there's no doubt about that. I could see them looking to acquire picks for next year even. There's not a great number of needs in this year's draft for them as well. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. I love the draft. And Thursday night's going to be an absolute blast. I will be on when the Packers pick, whether that's at 25 or if they trade up. I will jump on as well on the Belly Up Sports YouTube channel. There's a draft special being hosted by DJ and Kelsey from High Low Sports, and I will be on there whenever the Packers pick to talk about that, and I'm sure it'll be an exciting time no matter what. All right, so my Sports Stove NFL Mock Draft 3.0 dropped just about an hour ago, 7 o'clock Eastern time on bellyupsports.com, so you can go there. Check it out, rip it up and down, and leave your comments on how you feel about that. And then, Dad, you like to put in your mock draft as well. So that's what we're going to talk about now. This is the way I do the mock draft is what I think is going to happen. It's not what I want to happen. It's not what I would do. It is simply what I think is going to happen, trying to predict how things will shake out. So, Dad, at the top, Chicago, Caleb Williams, that's a lock. Everyone knows it's going to happen. Yep. Number two, the Commanders, Jaden Daniels, quarterback, LSU, it's not a guarantee, but it sure is what everybody thinks is going to happen, including currently the odds in Las Vegas as well. Did you go Jaden Daniels too, or did you shake it up at 2?
No, I went with Jaden Daniels there also. I think that makes sense.
All right. Number three is the Patriots. I think they stick and pick at 3. With quarterback Drake May, North Carolina. I am not a believer in Drake May, by the way. I do not think he is going to be a great starter in the NFL. I really don't like any of these guys after Williams or Daniels, to be honest with you, that are going to be going first or second day. But I think the Patriots, they've got to get a quarterback, and I think Drake May is probably the guy they go with at 3. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I think, again, they need to stay there and get a quarterback, and I think May would be the guy. You know, is he going to be pan out or not? You never know on these quarterbacks, but he's obviously, you know, got some potential. So,
yeah, I just wanted to make sure I'm on the record. I mean, I could be completely wrong, of course, but, man, it just got like Daniel Jones vibes coming out here. Not that he's the same player as Daniel Jones, but that kind of level of success or lack thereof. For sure is the way I feel about Drake May, of course. Could be wrong, and I have no problem admitting that if I am wrong. Number 4, some people say the draft starts here. I don't think it starts till number 5. I've got the Cardinals going Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver out of Ohio State. You hear a lot of comparisons to Larry Fitzgerald and what he can bring to this team, Dad. And the Cardinals need a receiver to package with Kyler Murray, of course. And I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is that guy. Although I would love to see the Colts jump up here and take Marvin Harrison. Or if something happens at four and it goes awry and Harrison's dropping to like six or seven, man, I would love to see the Colts jump up and get him. But I've got him going number four to Arizona.
Yeah, I agree with that. Everything I've heard, you know, is he would probably be the number one pick if it wasn't for the quarterbacks. He's one of those wide receivers that you can't pass up, and Arizona needs a wide receiver. I think it really makes the most sense. Now, again, historically, I remember way back the Cardinals, whenever they picked, you got excited because they did crazy things. But I don't know if that'll be the case. It would make sense here for them to take Harrison, so that's what I would think.
Yeah, I just really don't think they're going to move out of this pick. And of course, it's being said, it's on, you know, it's being shopped, but I really don't think the Cardinals are going anywhere. But I do think the Chargers move out of five. They need more draft picks, new coach Jim Harbaugh. And the option here is JJ McCarthy. And Harbaugh wants what's best for McCarthy. It just makes sense that whoever gets him at number five, in my opinion. I have the Vikings coming up because they have the best package to come up and get them. I've heard rumors of the Giants. If you do that, then you're only dropping one pick. If you're the Chargers, you're picking up, you know, what, a third round pick later on or something like that. The Vikings, you get two first round picks, probably three first round picks total, two this year, one next year. If they come up to get McCarthy, for a while, I really thought that the Vikings were going to stay at 11 or maybe go up to nine or something like that. I thought maybe they didn't have to go up to five to get McCarthy, but man, the more I cannot shake what's being said for the Vikings. They've got to get them, basically, is the end story here. And if they can't get up to three, five's the place to go to get McCarthy. And so I've got the Vikings coming up here five to get JJ McCarthy. How do you feel about pick number five?
I've got that being a trade, but again, I think Minnesota may stay where they're at and can still get, you know, McCarthy or who they need there. You talked about right before about Cincinnati may change this, but I had Buffalo coming up to the Chargers to get their wide receiver here and making a move on that. And because they really need one, and you still got two very, very good ones here. So I have Buffalo coming up and taking Adunze from Washington.
Okay, interesting. And it's intriguing because Neighbors and Adunze from Washington are two different kinds of receivers. So you're going to have teams that like Neighbors or fit Neighbors better than they do Adunze, and you'll have teams that will fit Adunze better as well. Neighbors keeps getting that Tyreek Hill comparison, and so I still feel like he goes above Adunze. If Buffalo goes up there, maybe they do. That's a big jump for Buffalo to get up to that. That's going to be a hefty price to get up there too. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know if the Chargers get enough out of that, Dan, to make that move. Cause that's a massive drop from five all the way down to where are the Bills at 28. That's a big drop as well. So, we'll see. One of the things I put on Twitter the other day was don't be surprised if the Vikings go up to get a receiver instead of a quarterback. I have come off that recently, but my thought was, is, you know what? What if the Vikings decide to wait for quarterback till next year and they go up and get another receiver to pair with Jefferson, to pair with Addison as well. But at the end of the day, I really think Vikings go to get their quarterback because everything says McCarthy is going to be in the top 10. And could the Vikings jump up to, like I said, nine because the Bears are going to want to trade down? Maybe. I just not sure that McCarthy, if he falls to 7-8, I think that now you got other teams like the Raiders who could say, hey, now this is actually doable. So anyways, that's my thoughts. Number six, I got the Giants going with Malik Neighbors from LSU, the wide receiver. Again, they need playmakers, and if they're not going to go quarterback, which again, I don't think they should go quarterback. I don't think Daniel Jones is the answer, but I just don't think neither is JJ McCarthy or any quarterback that's available after Williams and Daniels. So I've got them going Neighbors at number six to add playmaker. How about you?
Yes, that's the same thing I've got is Giants need to get a receiver, and I have them taking Neighbors right there. You know, when you talked about McCarthy, I think the only issue with McCarthy is how do people have him ranked?
Right.
You know, people have said he's, you know, they got the top four, but I'm not sure everybody will have him in there as a lock. But again, people have come up and drafted a lot worse than him over the years. So we will see.
We think, we don't know yet. He might be worse. Titans at 7. I've got him going Joe Alt. Everybody and their mother has him going Joe Alt at number 7, the offensive lineman from Notre Dame. Titans in desperate need of offensive line help. Could they go someone else? Sure, they could. But it seems like this is the pick here at number 7.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Everybody has. That's the one thing that's constant with all mock drafts, and I had no reason to go against it. Tennessee will be getting a good offensive tackle, and they can obviously use one.
Yeah, the Bears taking Caleb Williams at 1 and the Titans taking Joe Alt at 7 is consensus across the board, as though nothing else is. Let's go to number 8 and the Falcons, Dad. I struggled a little bit with what to do here. I have put Jared Verse here in each of my mock drafts, and I put him here again at number 8 with the Falcons. I just can't get off of him. I think he's an explosive player, and I think he's going to go above Dallas Turner of Alabama. I think he fits the Falcons. So I went with Jared Verse, the edge rusher from Florida State here at number 8. What about you?
I'll go with Atlanta on an edge rusher, but I'll go with Turner from Alabama. I just think he'll probably be the first one, but him, of course, there are several good ones, and that's two of them for sure. But I think they would go with the guy from Alabama.
The other guy that I originally put here before I published the article was Byron Murphy, the Texas defensive tackle. I've heard that he could go in the top 10, and to me, either 8 or 9 makes the most sense for him if he's going to go in the top 10. I ended up going with Jared Verse in the end, but I need to get it on the record that at some point I had Byron Murphy in this spot. So if he goes at 8, I can at least say I almost had it. number 9 is the Bears. I think the Bears want to trade out of here. But the way that my mock draft fell, Roma Dunze from Washington, the wide receiver, still sitting here. And although someone could trade up to take him, I think the Bears would jump on that as well. Him and Caleb Williams get along really good. So I've got the Bears taking wide receiver Roma Dunze at number 9. Obviously, you had a Dunze going earlier in the draft. So who do you have going at 9?
9, I've got a trade. I've got Indianapolis trading up here with Chicago, and the Colts taking the tight end Bowers from Georgia.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that possibility at some point as well. Intriguing pick there. Brock Bowers is an incredibly athletic, although he doesn't look like it, tight end, and he's going to be a powerful weapon for whoever gets him, and I think that's really intriguing there. Of course, a lot of mocks have the Jets taking Brock Bowers, which I think is not going to happen. But if there's GMs out there listening, maybe they think, hey, we better get a bet ahead of the Jets to get Brock Bowers and jump up there and get them. The Colts are a team that could definitely use Brock Bowers to add to their offensive repertoire as well. Number 10, Dad, I have my first trade, second trade, I guess, at number 10. I've got the Eagles jumping up to number 10 to draft offensive lineman Talese Fuaga from Oregon State. He's a mauler. He can play guard. He can play tackle. And the Eagles, having some older offensive linemen or retiring offensive linemen, need to start retooling that O-line. So I've got them jumping up to 10 to take Fuaga from Oregon State. What do you got going on at 10?
I've got the Jets staying there, taking the offensive tackle Latham from Alabama.
J.C. Latham. You know, I hear Latham going as high as 5. And I've heard him going down in the late 20s. It seems to be a wide variety of thoughts on him. I think he's going to be a good pro. So I think if he goes at 10, I think that'll turn out well. And I think the Jets, if they stay at 10, by the way, I think they take offensive line as well. Number 11. Well, I had the Chargers trading out of 5 with the Vikings. So the Chargers picking at 11. I have them taking Byron Murphy from Texas, the defensive tackle. Incredibly talented and important position, and he fits the Jim Harbaugh mold as well. I think 5's a little too rich for Byron Murphy, so I've got him going at 11 to the Chargers. What do you got going on at 11?
Well, I've got Minnesota staying there, so that's where they take McCarthy at, is what I've got there at 11.
Man, if the Vikings can stay at 11 and get McCarthy, they will be ecstatic because that means they've got 11 and 23 still. I'd be shocked if that happens, but it is a possibility. Number 12 is the Broncos. I've got a trade here also. I have the Colts moving up to number 12 from 15, taking cornerback Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo here at number 12, the first defensive back off the board. Dad, who do you have going at 12?
I got Denver staying there and taking the quarterback Bo Nix from Auburn.
I really believe Bo Nix is not going to be a first round quarterback. And I'm using Will Levis as my reasoning for this. And even Kenny Pickett for that matter, who went in the first round and it was regretted. I just think that Bo Nix is not a first round quarterback. Could he go at 12? Yes. Could the Broncos trade down and possibly get him later? I think that's a possibility. Also, he has been linked to Denver. The more I listen, Dad, I really feel like people like Penix better than Bo Nix. That being said, if he goes at 12, if McCarthy goes 11 and Nix goes 12, a round of applause to you. I don't think it's going to happen. 13 is the Raiders. The Raiders. I've got them scooping up edge rusher Dallas Turner, still available on my board at number 13. Could the Chargers take him if they trade down to 11? Yes. Could the Jets take him at 10? Sure. Could the Bears take him at 9? Very possible. But I've got him falling to 13 to the Raiders there, Dallas Turner, Alabama. How about you?
There, the Raiders, I've got them taking Mitchell from Toledo. You had him go a pick or two early. But again, I think he'll be the first defensive back off the board and got him going to the Raiders.
All right. New Orleans Saints at 14. I really think they're a sneaky team to move up in this draft. But Dad, I've got them taking the listed as a center, but can play any position on the line, Graham Barton from Duke. I think the Saints like his versatility there at 14, ahead of some of the O-linemen that maybe are projected elsewhere, but it seems like people really like who Graham Barton is. So I've got him going 14 to the Saints. What do you got at 14?
At New Orleans, I've got him taking your edge rusher, Verse from Florida State.
Jared Verse from Florida State. I like it. 15 is the Colts. I have them trading up to the Broncos at 12. So the Broncos picking at 15. I've got them picking who you had the Colts picking, Dad, tight end Brock Bowers. I think if the Broncos can trade down and still land Bowers, a dynamic offensive weapon, they don't have the wide receiver they need just yet, but they get a pass catcher in Brock Bowers at 15, which I think is a steal here in this draft if Bowers makes it to 15. Who do you have the Colts taking at 15?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Bowers drops that low. But anyhow, I had Chicago making the trade with Indianapolis, so I've got Chicago taking the offensive tackle Fashanu from Penn State.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of offensive linemen going in this first round. I think I have 8 possibly. And what order they go in is a massive question mark. 16 is Seattle, Dad. I've got them going cornerback, Terrion Arnold from Alabama. I think there's a lot of options for the Seahawks here. I think they could trade down also. What do you have going on at 16?
I agree actually with you on that one. Terrion Arnold from Alabama is what I have.
Yeah, he might be the first cornerback taken over Quinyon Mitchell. I think they're pretty even as far as talent goes, and it kind of just comes down to what teams like. But I think the Seahawks would be very happy if they got Arnold at 16. 17 is the Jaguars. I've got them following up Terrion Arnold with Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama. Man, I don't love this pick, Dad, I don't know. I couldn't figure out who the Jaguars were going to take, so I threw Kool-Aid McKinstry here at 17.
I've got Jacksonville trading down with the Chargers, so I had the Chargers dropping down to Buffalo's spot. I have them trading back up here to Jacksonville's spot and taking the wide receiver Thomas from LSU.
Okay, interesting. Very interesting. I actually have the Bills landing Thomas also, but at a different spot. So we'll get to that in just a minute. 18 is the Bengals, and my goodness, Dad, what are they going to do? Trey Hendrickson wants out. T. Higgins wants out. Do they need an edge rusher? Do they need a wide receiver? Well, I still think they need to continue to fix the O-line. I've got them taking Troy Fontenot from Washington here at 18. What do you got the Bengals doing at 18?
I've got them taking the offensive lineman. I think you had go earlier, Fuaga from Oregon State.
Okay, man, if they could land Fuaga, I think he's going to be a bruiser in the league. That'd be a great pickup at 18 for sure. The Rams, Dad, I keep coming back to the same guy every time. Cornerback Cooper DeJean from Iowa. Kid plays safety possibly as well. The Rams are just the kind of team that seem to fit Cooper DeJean. And as much as I'd love him to fall to Green Bay, I don't think it's going to happen. I've got him going 19 to the Rams.
At the Rams, I've got Murphy from Texas, the defensive lineman, going here.
Byron Murphy from Texas. Man, that'd be great for the Rams. He's not going to be the perfect replacement necessarily for Aaron Darnold, but that'd be quite the steal at 19, I think, as well. Daniel Jeremiah says, everybody in the top 10 that's talking about trading down to get Byron Murphy. Everyone at the bottom of the draft is talking about trading up to get Byron Murphy. So something's got to give somewhere for sure. Number 20 is the Steelers. I really wanted to trade down, but I couldn't figure out who would come up here. So I got the Steelers staying at 20, taking O-lineman J.C. Latham from Alabama. I think there's a lot of options for the Steelers at 20. What do you got going on?
At the Steelers, I've got them taking DeJean, a cornerback from Iowa.
Cooper DeJean, yeah, from Iowa there. That's a good fit, I think, for sure. I think DeJean fits in a lot of places, but I think the Steelers would be a great landing spot for him also. The Dolphins at 21, I have them going edge rusher Chop Robinson from Penn State. I've got four edge rushers going here in the first round, but I've got them choosing Chop Robinson over Leitu from UCLA here at number 21.
I've got Miami taking offensive line, the interior lineman Johnson from Oregon.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Johnson. I've got Johnson as a second rounder. So, but anything can happen at this point. 22, Dad, I've got the Jets and the Eagles here making the trade earlier. So the Jets picking at 22. Originally, it's the Eagles pick. And, man, I just could not find a place earlier for this guy. But I got the Penn State offensive lineman, Olumiyiwa Fashanu. And I know I got Fashanu right. I'm not sure if I got the first name right. But I got the Jets trading down to 22 and still landing a solid offensive lineman.
I've got the Eagles, course, picking here and taking a guy that, you know, it looks like he's fallen. But you had him go a couple of picks earlier, Latu from UCLA.
Yeah, actually, I've got Latu coming up in a couple picks. I haven't picked him yet. He's a great player, but man, there are medical questions, and that's why I've got him dropping a little bit further. Let's see here. 23 is the Vikings. I had them trading with the Chargers to go up to number 5 and get the quarterback. And then I've got the Bills coming up here to 23 to take Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. You had the Bills trading up earlier to land this wide receiver. I think the Bills will be fairly content if they could land Brian Thomas Jr., whether it's at 23 or up a little higher where you had him coming up to also, for sure there. Who do you have at 23?
Well, I've got Minnesota staying here, and I got him taking a guy I really like, and this may be a little early, but it's Robinson, the defense or the edge rusher from Missouri.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be quite a player, and so I've got him going to Minnesota here.
Okay. 24 is the Cowboys. That's where I've got Latu landing from UCLA. I think he's probably better than Chop Robinson, who I have at 21, but, again, major medical situation going on with him. People still seem to like him though. And I think the Cowboys are the kind of team that would be willing to take a shot, even with his injury history. So I've got Latu from UCLA, the edge rusher, going to Cowboys at 24.
The Cowboys, I got taken offensive lineman Barton from Duke.
Okay, man, if he falls there, I'd like the Packers to jump up and get him if he comes down. The Packers are at 25. I've got them going with the Georgia offensive lineman, Amarius Mims. Packers need offensive line help. They also could go a couple of different directions. I've had them going defensive back up to this point, but Dad, ultimately landing a guy like Amarius Mims, I think would be a pretty good get for the Packers at 25.
Well, if the Packers stay at this pick and this guy's available, I feel pretty good about this one. And that one's going to be the defensive tackle Newton from Illinois. It's one of the big needs they have. He's really highly regarded, and I think he would fit a spot they need right there. They could use it, but they may trade up and get somebody else. We'll see.
Yeah, I have a hard time taking an Illinois football player in the first round, but maybe it happens. I actually have him going next, number 26, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I've got the defensive tackle, Jerzon Newton, the third from Jerzon Newton from Illinois, going here at 26, the Tampa. You've got him going at 25, so who do you have going at 26?
Tampa, I got Chop Robinson from Penn State.
Okay, very good. Let's see here. Cardinals are next at 27. I've got them going cornerback TJ Tampa from Iowa State. There's a slew of DBs, wide receivers, different defenders that could go here. I don't know what to do at 27. So I went TJ Tampa, Iowa State cornerback. What about you at 27?
I've got cornerback. I got Wiggins from Clemson going here.
Yeah. I like Wiggins personally. For sure. All right. 28 is the Buffalo Bills. I had them trading up with the Chargers. And so I've got the Chargers picking at 28, going wide receiver Adonai Mitchell from Texas. Here getting an offensive weapon at 28. Who do you have at 28 and who do you have them picking?
I have Jacksonville dropping down to this spot, and I got them taking the wide receiver Worthy from Texas.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. Detroit at 29. You're always looking for that next kneecap biter. I'm not sure who that would be. I'm going cornerback Enos Rakestraw Jr. from Missouri here at 29 to the Lions. What do you have Dan Campbell doing at 29?
I've got McKinstry from Alabama dropping to here again. There is some injury concern a little bit about him, so I have him dropping a little bit. But again, Detroit, you know, that might be a really, really good pick if he drops to there.
Sure. 30 is the Ravens. And Dan, I have the Las Vegas Raiders trading back into the first round at pick number 30 and drafting Michael Penix Jr. from Washington, the quarterback. It's hard for me to do this because I really think only four quarterbacks are going in the first round. But I don't know. I couldn't get away from it. So I have the Raiders trading back up into the first round to number 30. The Ravens are always willing to move down. So I've got Penix going here at 30. What do you got going on at 30?
Originally, I thought about the Raiders trading up there too, but I got Baltimore staying there and had Mims from Georgia, the offensive tackle, falling to them there.
Okay. San Francisco at number 31. I've got offensive lineman Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma going here at 31 to the 49ers. What about you?
I've got offensive lineman also, but I got Fabatanu from Washington falling here. So,
okay. Again, if he falls this far, I'd like the Packers to grab him at 25. The Chiefs are at 32, last pick of the first round. I've got them going linebacker, Junior Colson from Michigan, jumping into the first round, and the Chiefs taking him with the last pick in the first round. How about you?
I think it makes sense. I'll take wide receiver, and I got McConkey from Georgia here.
Man, every time I look at him, I don't see first rounder. and I know he's good. And I know people like him. So maybe he does make it there. I would not be pleased if the Packers took him in the first round, which they won't. They don't take receivers in the first round. But and honestly, I don't think the Packers should draft a receiver this year. But that being said, that would be an interesting pick. A lot of people like it for sure. Do you have any names that did not make it into your first round, Dad, that you say, you know, I couldn't put them in here, but I would not be surprised, or this is a guy I really wanted to get it in the first round, but could not find a place for him?
Well, as I've been looking and you know, studying some, I like Rakestraw from Missouri, like you said. I think he's a guy. There could be several defensive backs. There could be kind of a run on those and more than what we, you know, more than what we have in there. And it's kind of the same way with wide receiver. You know, when you get down to the bottom there, you've got, I didn't have Mitchell being drafted. You've got Polk from Washington. You've got several names you hear. There could be somebody there at the end of the first round that somebody wants. A couple offensive linemen, Frazier, who's an interior lineman from West Virginia, and Morgan from Arizona, even though I think they're after these other seven or eight from there. So that's kind of would be some of the ones I had.
I think Xavier Leggett, wide receiver from South Carolina, wouldn't surprise me if he goes in the first round instead of one of these Texas receivers. So I think that's a possibility for sure. And then the other guy that keeps coming up, and everyone that talks about him has him as a second rounder, but everybody absolutely loves this kid. And it's a cornerback out of Kentucky who doesn't have any interceptions, but he has a lot of pass breakups, Andrew Phillips. And like I said, everyone says he's going to be in the second round, but I've heard him talked about a whole lot more than some of these other guys. And if everybody likes him, it seems like it wouldn't be surprising if someone late in the first, like the Ravens, even the 49ers or the Chiefs could take this kid. So I wouldn't be surprised if he makes it there as well. And then there's also another Mizzou player. And he's listed as a defensive end, I believe, but Darius Robinson out of Missouri, another name that would not surprise me if he moves up into the first round as well. And Dad, is there anybody that you have in your draft that you say, man, you know, maybe not one of these guys at the very end, but you say, this guy, I wouldn't be surprised if he falls out of the first round, even though you have him mocked in the first round.
There'd be a chance that Johnson from Oregon could. You see them ranked differently on the interior lineman. On the other hand, he may be a guy that somebody, you know, really likes. Some of those other guys at the end, again, you know, I've heard in the last day or so some of the questions about McKinstry. You know, if there is some legitimate medical concern there, he could easily drop out of the first round. Otherwise, I think most of the guys we got up there probably be kind of shocking if they dropped out. So
I think the name is Latu, Dad, from UCLA. A neck injury. Now, he was out for two seasons. He was medically retired. He did come back and play, but gracious, I got to believe there are teams scared to death to draft this kid. And so as good as he is, I think people might look at him and say, you know, he's great, but we may only have him for 3 or 4 or 5 years. And I would not be surprised if he falls out of the first round. Quarterbacks, of course, I've got five going. I really, in my heart, think only four are going to go. But it made sense for the Raiders to try to get their quarterback. So I'm interested to see how that goes as well, and when other quarterbacks go in this draft. No running backs in the first round, and we'd be shocked if any of them go. Jonathan Brooks from Texas is one of the first ones that will probably go. Wide receivers, we listed a bunch, Dad, but I mean, who knows what will happen, especially in the latter part of the first round. There's all kinds of guys: Xavier Leggett, Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConsky, Xavier Worthy, Ricky Pearsall, Keon Coleman could all go in the first round. Not all of them, but each of them could at some point end up there in the first round, dropping others down to the second round. So who knows where that goes? I don't think any, it depends on how you have them listed, I guess, as far as interior linemen. Fontenot is listed as a guard on ESPN. So I think, you know, he goes. I think that Barton goes, but I don't think any other interior linemen go in the first round. I think Johnson is a second round pick as well. Defensive tackle, Byron Murphy's a first round pick. It seems like Newton's a first round pick, but I'd be shocked if Braden Fisk goes in the first round, but it's a possibility. At linebacker, I mean, Peyton Wilson was the guy that was there for a long time. But again, if I really feel like even the Chargers, if I think Jim Harbaugh walks away with at least two Michigan players in this draft. I think Blake Corum is one of those players, but I think he ends up with a Michigan defender as well. And so I'll put my stamp on that one. Jim Harbaugh walks away with two Michigan players in this draft also. Well, Dad, the draft is tomorrow night, first round at least. I'm excited about it. Anything else you want to add about the draft or anything else that you want to mention before we say goodbye to you tonight?
No, you know, it'll be exciting to see, and it'll be interesting to see when the trades start, how many right. people stay pat, you know, from there. And of course, the quarterback thing will really affect a lot. I've heard a lot of the Packers talk that, you know, 5 or 6 quarterbacks going early would be great because it's going to push people down. No question about that. I don't know that that will happen, but you never know. There are several positions that could have a run. Wide receiver could have a run. That would affect things. And obviously the offensive line. I think the offensive line thing will be kind of spread out because they're so different. But, you know, obviously if they fall 4 or 5 in a row, anything that goes 4 or 5 in a row is going to, you know, definitely affect things down the line and probably people trading up.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. Now that I've posted my mock draft officially online, I'm assuming a trade will happen that I didn't have here in the next hour and completely ruin my mock draft. so you're welcome to everyone for that. All right, Dad. Well, we've got our NASCAR guest waiting. The draft tomorrow, I'm sure we will discuss it next week, break it all down and everything as well. But Dad, as always, sure appreciate you joining the show.
Yeah, looking forward to the draft. Appreciate being on. And like I said, tomorrow night will be exciting. Friday will be exciting for sure. So we'll see.
Yes, it will. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking Dover, Talladega, and Fantasy NASCAR. First, a quick word from our sponsors at Righteous Felon Jerky.
Say hello to America's most wanted craft beef jerky. Over 15 flavors with all kinds of character. The number one jerky gift box and all natural black Angus quality made right here in the U.S. of A. Taste the flavor revolution at RighteousFelon.com. Use the promo code STOVE15 at checkout. That's RighteousFelon.com. Promo code STOVE15 at checkout.
It's time to talk NASCAR in the Sports Stove final lap. Joining us now to defend his honor against the senseless Twitter attacks of Caleb McChesney, the one and only Belly Up NASCAR lead person. That's the wrong word for it. I'm ahead. Chris Prince is back with us. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Hey, let's talk Chase real quick. Chase gets the win. You weren't able to come on the program last week. But how you feeling about Chase Elliott back in the winner's circle?
It was a long time overdue. I'm happy he finally broke through. I was expecting maybe for a something like Talladega breakthrough, but I'll take it when I can sit, you know, when I can. So I'm hoping it'll help his playoff chances, you know, get some momentum rolling.
Definitely. Now, on Twitter, on commenting on my posts, Caleb McChesney comes after you for your power rankings. What do you have to say to Caleb and combat all the horrible things that he said about you?
I know, you know, it's tough doing power rankings. I'll put it out there. You know, can't make everybody happy, but I think he'll be okay. His guy Alex performed pretty well, so he benefited in those power rankings. I just dropped those today. Bubba was the victim of somebody else's mistake, and it kind of killed his day. So we're gonna see how he does at Dover, and then we'll see if he makes it into the top 10 next week.
I want to come back to the crash of the Toyotas in just a minute. But on your power rankings, you still have you still have Ryan Blaney as number 2 on the list. It feels like he has taken a hit as of late in the races as well. I was talking with Josh King last week on the show, and I asked this question: if Ryan Blaney had won in Atlanta, I mean, he was inches away from it, would we be as concerned about the Fords as we seem to be concerned about them right now?
I don't think so. Yeah, no, I don't. I just don't. A win takes a lot of concern away, even if it is just by inches. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I keep forgetting Daniel Suarez has won a race until I look at Ryan Blaney and go, oh, yeah, that's right. Suarez is there. Let's talk about a little bit about Talladega. You know, I enjoyed the race overall. I think it's boring. I think you really can tune into the last, you know, 20 laps and get what you need out of Talladega. That being said, the Toyotas, man, it was great. The broadcast on TV was like, this is a great strategy. They're making everybody else push. This is going to work out. Oh, never mind. Crash and it's done. Eric Jones, of course, having medical issues as a result of it. And but Bubba Wallace out, Denny Hamlin out in the race as well. What were you thinking when that wreck went down at Talladega?
Yeah, that threw a wrench in the plans. I thought for sure chaos was about to ensue. And, I mean, I was very surprised we saw the green flag run there like we did. But I touched on it a little bit at the end of my power rankings. You know, you can speculate. I'm not a professional. I don't know as much as I, you know, like to think sometimes. But I think it has a lot to do, too, Vince, with the – yeah, they're playing fuel strategy and the teams are telling them that. But I think a lot of those drivers are – wised up because they know these next gen cars don't take a hit real well, especially at a track like Talladega. Yeah. So while they want to be aggressive and they want to fight for that lead, I think they're realizing maybe we need to tone it down at least until it matters a little more.
Yeah. So I had Christopher Bell in my fantasy lineup, so that wreck really hurt me. But it's funny, my wife was in the living room with me and I was just telling her, I was like, you know, Talladega, stereotypically it has a big wreck at some point. That one happened. She goes, is that it? I said, no, that was not it. And it didn't come until the last lap. And man, okay, let me put it this way. See if I can word this correctly. I was cheering for Michael McDowell. I think he's a great human being. I was excited. Yeah. Man, this is going to be great. When he went back down the track for the second block, I was screaming, no, don't do it. And then all of a sudden you see him go right back up the track and into the wall. And then on top of that, poor Keselowski, I thought, well, at least Keselowski can get a win. Nope. Still didn't get that win, either. I don't know. What were your thoughts on the Michael McDowell move? Do you think, obviously, he would have liked to have seen it happen differently when it's all said and done. But, that being said, how do you feel about that?
Bitches. Yeah, I'll touch on that in just a minute. I liked that, Michael he tried. I mean, you can't knock the guy for that. Like you said, I kind of was pulling for him in a sense since my man, his run got killed by an ill-timed block. So there near on the closing lap. But yeah, Michael went back down and I think he had to have known what was going to happen at that point because the run was pretty significant. I'm like you, I saw him making that move back down to block again and it just wasn't going to happen. But it's racing. It's Talladega. More often than not.
It made the whole race, in my opinion. The excitement at the end really did. You can look at it and go, oh, man, that was fun, even though the rest of the race wasn't that fun. There were moments here and there. Yeah, the ending. And like I said, I just felt so bad for Michael McDowell. And to hear Keselowski after the race, you know, he just goes, man, you know, Michael's such a good person. I hate it for him. I'm sitting there thinking, he just cost you the race, too. Yep. But that was his response, and it makes you realize how good of a person I think Michael McDowell is. And I was really looking forward to hearing him on Tuesday on the Dale Jr. Download call in and talk. I thought, man, this is going to be a great conversation. That's all I could think about for the last couple laps, and then the wreck happened, and then Tyler Reddick won. And I'm like, well, I mean, I had him on my fantasy team too, so I was like, well, that's okay. But I felt bad for McDowell. I felt bad for Keselowski. And at the end of the day, it's just another Toyota win when it's all said and done. And the poor Fords are sitting there going, seriously? Like, we had this. I'm sure Ford was not happy with the McDowell move.
Yeah, definitely not. I'm sure they were a little upset. But I think they also know what they get themselves into with these guys. These are competitive human beings at the top of their game in this Cup Series. So, yeah, Michael's wreck really kind of messed me up, though, because I had him in my fantasy league. I had his teammate, Todd. This was not a good week for me, nonetheless. Eric Jones was on my team. So,
yeah. I had McDowell in, and I had Reddick in. I had Keselowski on my garage, and I meant to put him in for Bell, but I was too busy watching the end of the second stage to make the switch. And as soon as the stage ended, I was like, oh, that was fun. Oh, crap. I meant to put him in. So it is what it is at the end of the day. And, of course, our one and only Caleb McChesney had a great week. First win of the year in the fantasy league. And finally has something to brag about. Congrats, Caleb. I like Caleb. It's been fun messing with him a little bit today. All right, let's talk about Dover.
Yeah.
What do we expect to happen at Dover?
Well, I think that's going to play a lot into the drivers and the cars. I think we're stuck with the short track package, honestly, Vince. The news today with the All-Star race, they're bringing different tires. Goodyear is that makes me optimistic for the future, but I'm a little worried. I hope it's a good product. I do. I hope that it's a competitive race and not just a follow the leader type of race.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to see a lot of the same still. I mean, unless the Fords just really come out strong in qualifying, I don't see a non-Toyota or HMS driver pulling away with this, this win.
Yeah, man, and that's sad. When we talk about fantasy, I've been so focused on the NFL draft this week. I do have a lineup set, so that way I don't forget. But that being said, I have not really studied it out much yet for this week. The way I kind of have, and I get to this point now where it's a little bit more strategic than giving advice to people because you're trying to, figure out guys that you can spend. And so I'm going to go pretty heavy this week. I got Larson, Truex, Reddick and Bowman in there right now. Buescher's in there as well with Keselowski in my garage. I'll wait till we see where everybody qualifies and probably make a few adjustments there. That being said, like outside of that strategy of why I can't race that guy too often, what are some names outside of the big ones, outside of Larson, Byron, those kind of guys, should we be looking at for Dover if we're looking at a fantasy lineup?
Yeah, I like, you touched on a little bit. You said you got the RFK guys there in your lineup. I like Buescher a little more so than I do Keselowski this week, but Keselowski's on a roll and
yeah.
Dover's perfect. Caleb in our picks this week actually is going to roll with Keselowski. I think that's a solid pick for someone who could really surprise you. Someone else. Now, he's really, from what I've noticed based off the trends, he's really dependent upon his qualifying position. Ricky Stenhouse has a really good history and average finish, especially within the last couple years at Dover. So yeah. He definitely could be someone that could really surprise you. And then, like I said, I touched on Ford. It's going to really take the Ford guys coming out, I think, but a couple of those Stuart Haas guys, Ryan Preece, Josh Berry, those guys, this track suits them real well if the cars have the speed and can contend with those bigger guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm cheering for Berry, of course, and he does do well at tracks like this. I've been really impressed with Noah Gragson. It seems just like week in and week out, he's the guy. He's quiet. There's not a lot. You're not hearing a lot. But, it's top 10, or at least he's running up in the top 10 for a lot of the race, whether or not he finishes there. He's around, it seems like, a whole lot. I just keep on seeing him there. I'm like, man, he's really impressive so far, even without the win.
Yeah, I like Gragson. I mean, like, I'm really, like, tracks like this where the driver can excel, even. I really like the SHR group. All four of those drivers are just really good. They're the old school, like grit type of drivers. I feel like Tony's brought that in for a reason though, obviously. But it's going to be dependent on the speed and the cars. And that's really hard for them because the Fords haven't shown it like Toyota really has. And they can't compete with Hendrick, it appears, either right now. So,
right. I like to, I don't think Alex Bowman is a dark horse. I don't think he qualifies as that. No, but Bowman and Chastain both have started to pick up what they've been doing as well. I mean, Bowman has four top fives. Ross Chastain, his average finish is in the 13. So, I mean, they're both, neither one of them have been what I thought they were going to be to this point this season. But it seems like both of them are trending very much upward right now.
Yeah, and this is a really good track for both of them. Ross has been statistically pretty good here, so I expect you to see that trend continue for Ross for sure. And then Alex has not only the good finishes to back it up and the good history here, Caleb touched on it. He's very confident in his abilities at Dover. He claims it's one of his better tracks in our picks piece. So I think those are two drivers that easily you can see contending this week. I don't think you can look at Alex as a dark horse for sure.
What should we think about Austin Cindric? He started the year and it looked like, wow, this guy. And now it doesn't feel like he's where he was after the first couple races.
Yeah, I mean, he won the stage, that first stage there at Talladega, and that wasn't too surprising. He tends to show out better at the super speedways. He's really good at that type of racing and the road courses. I think he's got potential, but I don't know right now, honestly, Vince. The Cup Series cars is a lot more even than it used to be amongst the bigger teams, and it's a lot more challenging for guys like Austin, I think, to make their mark. I mean, Daniel Suarez is a guy I kind of relate to Austin. He's good enough to be where he's at, but it's going to really take a solid performance or some luck for him to pull out a win, I feel like.
Yeah.
And that's not maybe anything that he does wrong, but that's the nature of the beast sometimes.
Now, I haven't seen an update, maybe it's been out there. I just haven't seen it on Eric Jones, and sounds like his back was giving him some problems. And I mean, he took a hard hit. If he can't race, do you have any idea of who would be filling in for Eric Jones?
Yeah. So they dropped today, actually earlier today, Corey Haim, or yesterday, I believe it was Corey Haim, that he drives for Todd Gilliland's dad's truck series team. Anyway,
okay.
It's the Toyota one. I can't remember right now the exact name of their team name for some reason. It escapes me, but he's going to be filling in for Eric. Toyota execs are real high on him from what I've saw. He showed a lot of potential in the truck series last year, and he's not been bad in his limited Xfinity series, so it'll be interesting to see what he can do, because I think a lot of the good performances you see with that 43 car is Eric, and because I'm really high on Eric Jones as a driver, but it'll be interesting for sure.
I like that. Talk to me a little bit about another conversation I had with Josh King last week, was on NASCAR going to the, I call it the off channels, FS1. It's, I think, three or four straight races now will be on FS1. And I know I'm behind the times, but I don't get FS1. And so I don't get to watch the race when they're on NBC Sports or when they're on FS1, those kinds of things, versus when they're on Fox and NBC. I feel like that hurts the sport, and I feel like it's bad for them to kind of go off air where people, not everyone can see them. Now, again, a lot of people can, but for cheap people like me, it's like, you know what, I guess I'm listening to it on the radio instead of watching on TV, which is still fun, but it's different at the same time. So any thoughts on their strategy of going FS1 now for, I think it's four straight races.
They've done this for the last, it's been a few years running, Vince, where at FS1, and then, like you said, they'll do like the USA Network or some off channel like that, before NBC got rid of their little off streaming thing they had. I can see what you're saying for sure. It does definitely, I think, hurt it in the sense of new fans finding them. Week to week, because maybe you may not have Fox Sports 1, you may not have, you know, whatever channel NBC's wanting, and starting next year you're going to have Amazon if you want to watch, like, right. I believe it's like a 6-race stretch, and I personally don't have Amazon as of right now, so that's something I'm going to have to do if I want to watch my race, you know. I can see why they do it, though, because they're competing with some bigger sports, now. So Fox kind of values NASCAR maybe a little lower down, and maybe that's why we did see them lose races to, you know, Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I'd prefer them be on Fox because, you know, bigger network, you know, more eyes on the sport. But, you know, I'm low on that totem pole of anybody even listening to me within the sport. So.
Yeah, I will say this, and again, I brought this up last week, so sorry for those who heard us last week, but the radio does such a great job of making a boring race sound good. Like, I've listened to races, and then I listen to the podcast the next week, and everybody's talking about how bad the race was. And I'm like, man, on MRN, it was neck and neck the whole way, man. And shout out to NASCAR. Their app is one of the best sports apps out there, giving you access to some of the drivers' video. to being able to listen to the radio, the broadcast on the radio, whether it's PRN or MRN. I love the NASCAR app. It's a phenomenal tool for anyone trying to pay attention to NASCAR. But I think they're missing the boat a little bit. Baseball does this, hockey does this. And I understand they're not as money makers as NFL, NBA, that kind of stuff. But yeah. I feel like, man, if ABC's playing the NBA, then Fox should be playing NASCAR. That's kind of the way that I view it. But anyways, FS1 is for the next four, including the All-Star race at North Wilkesboro before now coming
that,
back.
That is something I don't agree with. That's a big event. I feel like we should get a name, you know, a bigger network for that.
Yep.
But I get, again, you know, like you said, they're not as valued. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that could play in again to what we see next year coming, the new TV deal. There's going to be a lot of people, I think, you know, my dad already, he's like yourself. He pays for Hulu. He loves his Hulu and he will watch his race, but I will be interested to see what he does next year because he's very hard against all of the hundreds of streaming platforms. He has one and that's it. So,
The next Fox race will be Charlotte on May the 26th.
The 600 too. So that makes sense. Yeah. That's a big event. That's a
big one.
Yeah, that's a crown jewel for NASCAR. So
yeah, and then it'll go back to FS1 for one race, and then back to Fox. Then a couple of USA races for Iowa and New Hampshire before switching over to NBC for a couple races. So it's kind of hit or miss the rest of the season. Kind of, there's a bunch of USA NASCAR races, especially that's the playoffs. The playoffs are on the USA Network. I just don't get it, man. I don't understand.
Well, I know it's funny you bring this up this week. I was reading online that Texas Motor Speedway actually they requested to switch their one date to a spring date because the people at the track, the personnel, preferred to not have to battle the NFL.
Yeah,
in the fall.
And I can understand that. But my deal is, it's on NBC, so run it earlier in the day. NBC doesn't have football till the evening.
Yep.
Put NASCAR on. Let them go. And I know they're going up. Either way, they're going up against the NFL. So right. Throw them on NBC where people are going to be flipping through the stations anyhow, going back and forth between games. You come across that, NASCAR and hang out.
That's a book that we could talk about. I feel like the TV broadcasts and how things are. We could talk about that for a solid hour. There's some things that aren't agreeable. I mean, you see Twitter, you see the NASCAR fans, I'm sure they complain about commercials. I mean, five to go. Mike Joy said, things are heating up. We'll be right back, and cuts to a commercial last week. Like, are you kidding? Come on, a full screen commercial. I could see maybe a side by side, but
yeah,
don't do that to the guy and, you know, the broadcasters. That makes it hard for those guys too, I feel like.
Right. For sure. Well, luckily there's content on bellyupsports.com, breaking down races, power rankings here from Chris. Caleb putting out good stuff every week as well. For all the NASCAR fans, we've got our program every Wednesday night, sometimes Thursday night instead, as well, breaking down some races too. So there's good content out there. I just think, man, I used to rail on Major League Baseball for just failing to have their product where people can see it. And NASCAR is much the same, although the NASCAR app is way better than the MLB app. So, so they're doing a good job somewhere for sure. All right, Chris, what do you got going on this week content wise, whether it's NASCAR or NFL draft, anything going on with that?
Nah, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to watch, obviously, see what the Falcons do. I like your mock pick there. I did something a couple back at the trade deadline about how I feel like Atlanta's front office is allergic to the pass rush for some reason. They never draft a star pass rusher. They've had chances. So I'll be watching that for sure. But I dropped my power rankings today. And then me and Caleb dropped our weekly picks today as well. Those are over on Belly Up Sports. And you can find those on my Twitter too. NASCAR for Everyone is my handle. I'll be interested to see. I'll be watching the Belly Up coverage of the draft as well. So,
I love it. I love it. Did you want to make any comments on the Vengeance for Bubba tag by Caleb earlier?
I like Bubba. I have nothing against Bubba. I think he's hated for all the wrong reasons, in all honesty. I did a piece a couple years ago on most hated NASCAR drivers, and I said I think he's hated for the wrong reasons. But I think he's going to – he has a chance this week. Toyota, and especially now with Tyler winning at Talladega, that was unexpected. That's some momentum for that team alone, yeah, too. Yeah. And he was good at Dover last year. He easily could crack into the top five, you know, top 10 the way the Toyotas have been running. So we'll – he's a top 10 driver typically. He's just, you know, had some okay performances where drivers ahead of him have been winning and leading hundreds of laps. So yeah, we'll see how he does at Dover, and then we'll see if he makes the top 10.
Any thoughts on Michael Jordan and all the publicity about him being at the track and getting to winner's circle?
I love it, honestly, because you saw people like Magic Johnson on Twitter comment about it. I mean, that's more eyes on the sport because of a name like that, and yeah, I can respect it. I thought it was pretty cool seeing him grab Tyler's son and carry him all the way to victory lane. Like, that's a story that kid will be able to tell in, you know, 20, 30 years to his buddies. He was like, you know, the great Michael Jordan carried me to victory lane for my dad's yeah race.
I told my wife, I said, that kid has no idea.
Exactly. Yeah, right, he really doesn't.
And he'll find out one day. I know Tyler said he knows him as the shoe guy.
That's thought, awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
Kind of like Chase Elliott used to do with, yeah, like Dale Earnhardt and stuff. You right see those pictures all the time. They don't even realize, but it's
right,
it's something wild. Cool. I appreciate what Michael does. He watches all three of the series. He really wants to be involved with NASCAR. So he came into it. You know, Denny on the track and Denny off the track are two different Dennys. He came into yeah it with a good partner because Denny, I think, is someone that cares enough about the sport and its longevity.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think that you and I and Caleb need to get together sometime around the All-Star race and have a kind of a mid-season NASCAR Super Show or something. So we'll be in touch.
We'll work something out for sure.
Yeah, we'll be in touch about doing something there for sure, because there is a lot of stuff we can talk about beyond just the racers and the races all at the same time too. And that might give a chance to have you and Caleb on the air at the same time. So he can air out his grievances with you as well. But Chris, sure appreciate you coming on. I know you always give us great insight, so we're thankful for that. Very much looking forward to what's ahead at Dover and talking to you down the road again also. So thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, man. Have a good night. It was fun. We'll do it again soon.
All right, we'll see ya. Chris Prince, Belly Up Sports and Racing, head of the department there, and always great content. Again, you can find his power rankings on bellyupsports.com, or the Belly Up social media pages have them posted as well. And you can check out his power rankings each and every week, by the way, there as well. I want to remind everybody, make sure you check out the sponsor, Righteous Felon Jerky, righteousfelon.com. Use the promo code STOVE15. Listen, if you like the NFL draft, follow me on social media at SportsStove on Twitter. I'm going to have plenty of comments throughout the night on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. I will be live with the DJ and Kelsey from High Low Sports on the Belly Up YouTube page tomorrow during the Green Bay Packers pick, currently sitting at 25. If they make a move, I could be on earlier. But check it out, the coverage all night, Thursday night, with DJ and Kelsey there from Belly Up Sports also. Listen, I love the draft. I am giddy over this this weekend. It's a weekend I become very useless around the house during the NFL draft. So looking forward to that. Hope you are too. Like I said, check us out on Twitter, and we'll be dropping plenty of coverage on there as well. Let's see here. Sunday night, tune in, 8 o'clock. It'll be the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. Kevin Wilson will be with me. We'll be giving you all the advice you need for the upcoming week. Monday night, check out the Sports Stove Local Hour, talking with EKU head football coach Walt Wells. It appears as though one of his players, at least one of his players, will be drafted. So we'll be talking about that and players signing undrafted free agent contracts with different teams. We'll also be talking spring football for EKU and things like that also. And then Wednesday night, actually I think next week's probably going to be a Thursday night episode of the Sports Stove, but we'll be talking NFL draft, we're talking Major League Baseball, and of course more NASCAR, recapping Dover, and looking ahead as we turn the page to May, looking ahead to Kansas next week as well. Thanks so much for tuning in to tonight's edition of the Sports Stove Podcast. Thanks to my dad joining me earlier. Thanks to Chris jumping on to talk NASCAR. And thanks to you for tuning in. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.